Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hello and welcome to the Totally Scottish Football Show. Totally Scottish football with totally Scottish hosts. I'm Andrew Slavin, and some of you might be thinking, why are Totally Towers doing a Scottish football podcast? Adam Rooney left Aberdeen for non-league Salford. Scottish football is dying, right?
Wrong.
It is the turn of Van Dijk. It is special. It is spectacular.
It's where a gangly lad from Groningen can learn his trade and just a couple of years later become the most expensive defender in the world.
And Gerrard.
It's where Stevie G is making the first entry into his managerial CV because Scotland truly tests a coach's credentials. And it's where the most passionate fans turn up week in, week out. As Burnley's Jack Cork said this week, you just don't get that atmosphere in England. Today we are previewing the Scottish Premiership season, and alongside me is JJ Bull, football writer for the Daily Telegraph. How are you?
I'm very excited.
Good man. We'll be looking at clubs in the order they finished in the Scottish Premiership last season, ending with the promoted clubs St Mirren and Livingston. We won't just be focusing on the Premiership on this podcast. Throughout the season, we'll be keeping you up to date with all the stories throughout the divisions, from Alloa to Queen's Park. And later on, Adam Miller, aka Old Firm Facts on Twitter, will be joining us to tell us what makes Scottish football so entertaining. So let's start, JJ, with the champion Celtic going for maybe an eighth title in a row, maybe a treble. So are Celtic stronger or weaker or about the same? Let's talk to Jim Burke, known as Barca Jim on Twitter. Barca Jim, welcome to the show. Do you think, you know, Celtic are stronger or weaker at this moment?
I think they're the same as they were last season. I don't think we've really only lost at the moment Stuart Armstrong, and I don't think that weakens us unduly. Little bit concerned that we may lose somebody once the transfer window shuts and we'll not get a chance to replace them. Boyata, although not the best, I think he's better than we've got, better than played last night, for example. Mm-hmm. So I'm still pretty confident overall.
Do you think Celtic can attract a better player in defence than Boyata?
See, that's a good question. I think the great line for the Untouchables when he said, "Look, you don't get the apple out of the barrel, get them off the tree." Mm-hmm. And that's what Celtic need to do. You know, like they did with Van Dijk. Potentially, Celtic now have got a business model that if they approach an agent, it's quite an easy sell. They can say, look, come to Celtic for a couple of years, win a couple of trophies, play in front of that great crowd, and then the club won't stand in your way if you want to make it, you know, if you want to move on. So there is a potential we could get somebody better. I don't know who it is.
will it be much easier if Celtic are able to progress to the Champions League group stages? You know, it's early doors even now. That might happen. Do you think Brendan Rodgers is waiting for that moment to strike? Do you think he actually has options there? And maybe once that he's passed this hurdle, he might go for someone?
It could be. Because at the end of the day, Celtic financially run a very tight ship. And if they know that they're getting the cash injection from the Champions League, then despite the fact, you know, Peter Lobel will say, oh, we plan to do X, Y and Z, there's no way that doesn't affect. So in that case, yes, there is definitely a chance that the purse strings could get loosened if we make it through.
It'll depend a lot on whether you get through or not as well. Do you feel Celtic will be worried about Rangers this season? Is there a bit of a fear coming into it?
Fear is maybe the wrong word. I don't know. a lot of fans, when Gerrard got the job, kind of compared it to the John Barnes era. But and I'm not petty minded or whatever. I'm not. This isn't a pop as such. I compared it more to Liam Brady. Now, maybe you guys are too young to remember it. I'm certainly damn well not, right? But the fact was, he came in with a reputation as a great player. But the problem was, Celtic didn't have any money at that point, and the infrastructure just wasn't there. So he was doubly handicapped. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he understood at Celtic, Liam Brady back then, that he had to win every game. Now, Gerrard, I think, understands that. But I still think that it's a big ask to come into a club the size of Rangers where you are required to win every game. I mean, Lampard, he's kind of fellow newbie manager. He's at Derby now. He can win one, draw one, and lose one.
Yeah.
And that will be okay. If Steven Gerrard does that in the first three games at Rangers, then, you know, the back pages and phone-ins and Twitter's just going to be full of, you know, he's just going to get caned.
Well, that's it. Until you've lived in that city during one of those, especially Old Firm games, it's really hard to explain what it's like.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't want to say goldfish bowl, but it's so, you feel it, you feel the pressure.
It's not like anywhere else in the world. And I know Gerrard has experience of, you know, massive games, and but that's as a player. As a manager, when everyone is looking at you to make the decision and make the calls, it's a totally different pressure.
And if you don't have the resources as well, that's the other thing. Like, he's brought in players, but I wonder, he doesn't even seem that happy with what he's got at the moment.
I always think there's a risk when it's kids. Because, yeah. I mean, Celtic are able to do it, but they've got a kind of backbone, you know, of guys who've been at the club a long time, understand the club, and can mentor, you know, like Paddy Roberts is probably an example. I mean, he kind of got bled into the team and in. But, you know, for every Paddy Roberts that comes in and does something, there's players we've had in loan that just disappeared without a trace. Mm-hmm. Because, again, while you get the comments that, you know, Scotland's a pub league, blah, 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 the pressure that's on you when you play for either of the two Old Firm sides is absolutely massive. And just some kids, and that's all they are at the time, just can't handle it.
Jim, do you think, what do you think success for Celtic is this season?
The trebles, it's there. And I think if we did that, it would be just fantastic. You know, because, I mean, last year was brilliant as well. I think from a personal point of view, and my concern with a small C about Brendan Rodgers is that I would like to see a bit of a pragmatism with him, especially in Europe. I think that, you know, I don't enjoy watching us getting six or seven goals taken off us by, albeit, you know, world-class teams, teams that will go and be in the last four. You know, I don't want to see that. I would happily see us go back to the new camp and string, you know, five across the back, four across midfield, and just make it a really horrible game to watch. Maybe scrape a draw, you never know, you know, sneak a goal. but this going away, I'm not going to compromise, and then just getting picked off, it's not fun, you know. And I would look to see some cognizance of that this season, that there has to be a horse for courses when we make that step up.
You're listening to the Totally Scottish Football Show with Andrew Slaven.
So let's move on to last season's runners-up, Aberdeen. Summer headlines dominated by one big-name exit from Pittodrie. Top scorer Adam Rooney, who departs for Salford City in the National League, run by the class of 92, of course. Rooney will be paid more at Salford, but how big a blow is this for Aberdeen?
Do you know what, Andrew? I don't think it's that big a blow.
I agree.
Right, so it's I know there's more money down Dan Seth. Well, it's not, it doesn't sound like that in
that was
Salford, does it? Well, however they sound in Salford, right? So he's gone there. Cause, I mean, he wasn't a first pick for Aberdeen.
Uh-huh.
This is the thing people forget. He wasn't actually playing. He didn't even start that many games last season. Didn't score that many goals. He's not very fast anymore. Like, don't get me wrong, he's been a great player for that club.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But he is not at his peak.
It also, you know, Derek McInnes couldn't offer him a first-team berth in the coming season as well.
Yeah.
So he's basically left for more money and he's guaranteed more game time.
And
that's
an ambitious project. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't? I mean, it's like starting a football manager game where you start in the lower leagues and get, I don't know, Scarborough into the Champions League. It's fun, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it'd be a difference in the standard of football he's playing, and it's one of those kind of random lower league England sides. But I don't think it'd be that big a miss. I think Aberdeen are looking pretty good, actually. They're against Burnley last week. I was really impressed by how they played.
Absolutely. They were excellent. And to take the lead, albeit by a penalty, I think they did, you know.
A stonewall penalty.
Yeah, it wasn't a penalty. I don't think it was a penalty. But no? That's, well, it was well taken. When you score, it's well taken.
Do you know what I really enjoyed in that game is Gary Mackay-Steven. He's the left-footed right winger who's playing there. And he's a bag of tricks. He's quite a Brazilian Scottish player.
He doesn't really do as many tricks these days, though, does he?
He did against Burnley. He was at it. Ward was getting wound up by him. You can see he's doing the... You know when they put their hand over the... I mean, I can't... You know, this is obviously a podcast. You can't see what I'm doing, but mm-hmm. put my hand in front of my mouth.
Yeah.
You can't hear that either. Anyway, so Ward's going up to him and he's saying something under his breath, which I assume isn't, "Hello, how are you?" He's going, "Stop doing those tricks because
you're annoying me.
I'm going to hurt you."
I know.
And then Mackay-Steven starts laughing and he's like, properly laughing to himself, smiling all the way. And he's much better like that. Wound up, slightly happy. Nutmegs him, first touch after that.
he's got that. He's his potential has never really been truly reached. And I remember when he came off the bench for Celtic to play Inter Milan in Europa League last 32, and he was probably one of Celtic's best players against Inter Milan, and he was much younger then, and he needs that little bit of, you know,
is it a rocket? I don't know what he needs. Like, because sometimes he's absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. He's so mm-hmm. inconsistent.
He is inconsistent.
God, it's frustrating.
But McInnes believes in him, and I think that's something that McInnes as a manager has with his teams. Well, more so with Aberdeen than when he was at Bristol. Hmm. He believes in his players and he gives them belief. How do you think, JJ, they're going to get on in the coming season?
I think Aberdeen will probably be pushing for second. I think they could do it. I need to see more of Rangers to really work out what I think about them. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I also think Hibs could be good.
Yeah.
I think Neil Lennon's he's not underrated, but he's just a very, very talented manager. He gets more than he should out of certain players. Mm-hmm. But Derek McInnes is the same with Aberdeen.
But do you think Aberdeen actually have enough of a squad to stay at second place? Can they be runners up again this season?
It's difficult. Kenny McLean's a huge loss.
Yeah,
he was a big loss for them. I think the players that have come in, they look to be decent. Again, you just need to see them more. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to say without only seeing a few pre-seasons and a couple of one Europa League game against Burnley. I spoke to McInnes last season and he said what he really wants to have is a structured setup. You know, it's a very structured formation that allows individual talent to succeed, which is why players like Gary Mackay-Steven bang on for him, because as long as you keep things tight, then that boy can just create something out of nothing. And that's what he's building. But the good thing about that squad he's managed to build this season is that he's got options. Mm-hmm. So there's not two players for every position, but there are different players. So Aberdeen can't attract good players, but they can get different ones.
And they can play different systems then.
Yeah. The boy Sam Cosgrove, he played against Burnley last week. Mm-hmm. He cost £20,000.
It's amazing.
Like a student could afford him on their yearly wage.
It's amazing.
I don't know why I think a student has 20 grand on them.
He's bolstered his midfield. You know, he's got Lewis Ferguson in from Hamilton.
Yeah.
He's got Chris Forrester in, Stephen Gleeson from Peterborough and Ipswich.
But there is one more.
But
there's one more very good player in the books.
Go for him.
His name is Scott McKenna.
Well, this is interesting because he is a quality defender, but he played well against Burnley.
Yes.
If he plays well, so as we record this, you know, this is before Burnley face Aberdeen.
Before a magnificent win for Aberdeen. Or a close defeat.
Well,
an admirable performance.
If this goes out again, we can use both.
Yeah, they're going to edit the one that is the most appropriate. Thank you.
So, I mean, that's a platform for McKenna. You know, if he plays well again and progresses with Aberdeen, somebody's going to be sniffing about him.
Well, I mean, the problem now for Derek McInnes is having a player like that come through, of course people want to get them. Mm-hmm. And I know you and I have discussed between ourselves about the prices that players cost, and there is no way. Aberdeen turned down a bid of £1 million for McKenna. He is I don't think he's that much worse a player than Alfie Mawson.
Where was that from? That 1 million, do you know who it was from?
Hull, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I can't
remember. I think it's Hull.
I do think that, you know, the way a lot of clubs seem to operate is if the money is elsewhere and there are bids from those places,
yeah,
they should pay the money. They should pay the money.
Hey man, he's worth like definitely about 8 million. I'd say 8 to 10 million. And it's
21 years old.
He's captain Scotland. He was playing for Ayr a year ago.
It's amazing.
It's absolutely nuts. Mm-hmm. And the boys come through. And again, when I spoke to McInnes, he said that guy's a story to look at. It's come from absolutely nowhere. And just, and the weird thing about him is that he's clearly got potential, but he just seems to have risen to, like 10 levels above where he was just in an instant. I don't know where it's come from. It's like when Vardy just went from nowhere to, Jimmy Vardy just went from nothing to being an England striker. It's like nothing.
So let's go on to the other side of Glasgow, and Rangers have a new manager. You might have heard about this. Steven Gerrard's first job in management is at Ibrox. The Liverpool legend has already guided the Gers to the verge of the third qualifying round of the Europa League as we record. Scottish football commentator and broadcaster Craig Anderson is our man in Glasgow, and he's going to tell us whether life seems sunnier under Stevie G. Craig, how has the appointment of Gerrard transformed the mood around Ibrox?
Well, the appointment of Steven Gerrard has been great for the Rangers support. They've been looking to hang their hat on someone who can come in and perhaps change a little bit of the fortunes around the club. It's been mired in so much negativity for a long time now. To appoint someone like Steven Gerrard, a man as a player, we all know what he's all about, winning the Champions League and various other honours with Liverpool. He's a man they can really get behind, and that seems to be the case so far. That the signings he's brought in have certainly been positive in terms of the players that he's brought in. Conor Goldson looks a real prospect in the Rangers defence, along with Katic, the Croatian defender. Scott Arfield coming in midfield looks to be an interesting acquisition as well. He's played in Burnley for the last few years, so he looks a really good signing also. Interspersed with the likes of Morelos, Alfredo Morelos has been at the club now since the Pedro Caixinha stint at the club, along with Ryan Kent, who looks a decent prospect. Jamie Murphy, who's been brought in permanently from Brighton, looks to be a good acquisition as well. He's got in some of the goals in the early stages with the European games and the friendlies. It's been a breath of fresh air. You know, Rangers have needed that for a while. And it looks as though it could be someone they can really get behind before the season starts officially, and when they take on Aberdeen on Sunday.
You mentioned the negativity around the club. For anyone tuning in for the first time who's getting themselves up to scratch with Scottish football, can you give us a bit of background onto that?
How long's the show? It all started, obviously, with the liquidation of the club back in 2012 when the club was sold to Craig White. I could go on for a long time. Basically, the Rangers were sent down to the bottom tier, League Two. They had to fight their way all the way back up. Well, this is now their third season back in the top flight. Managerial appointments haven't really gone well. Mark Warburton was brought in Rangers' second season in the Championship. Got them up relatively easily, it can be argued, but didn't quite carry that on into the first campaign in the back in the top flight. Then there was the appointment of Pedro Caixinha, which, you know, he brought in a lot of players that weren't really up to standard, and we're seeing under Steven Gerrard that these players have been sent back to the likes of Mexico and South America. He's maybe kept one or two that have looked as though they can do a job for him. But the Caixinha appointment was not one that was greeted well, and that was compounded with the early European exit at the hands of Progress Niederkorn last year in the first qualifying round of the Europa League. But again, Steven Gerrard's come in. It's a breath of fresh air. It's got everybody reinvigorated. They're excited about the season ahead. And hopefully they can maybe close that gap on Celtic and, of course, on Aberdeen, who finished above them last year.
With that negative backdrop, how surprising was it that Rangers got Steven Gerrard?
It's quite interesting how they've done it. I didn't think for a minute Steven Gerrard would take the job. It was one of those ones when the speculation first arose that Gerrard was a contender for the job. I'm only speaking personally here. I didn't believe it. I thought it was a lot of paper talk. You know, there was a lot of spin towards it. And then when it discovered that he'd been in Glasgow for talks and everything else, he was obviously keen to cut his managerial teeth. He had a year at Liverpool working in the academy under Jurgen Klopp and identifying certainly one or two of the players that he's brought in that he thinks can do a job for him. I think it could be a good appointment overall if he gets the right results, and that's ultimately what it's all about. And when you're managing a team like Rangers, you know, results have to be the first order of the day. He's got to be given time as well. He is still a rookie manager. He will make mistakes along the way, but it's important that the fans stay patient for him. In the long term, if it works out, it could be a great thing for him. He's never hidden his desire to want to manage, and I dare say he'd love to manage his beloved Liverpool one day. If he gets it right at Rangers, that could go a long way into helping him achieve that.
In terms of Rangers fans, what are the expectations for this season? Do they think they can challenge Celtic for the title, or are they a bit more cautious?
I would have to say, I think there's some that would love that, but I think even the most ardent of Rangers fans will be realistic enough to say as long as they get closer to Celtic, maybe even beat them once or twice this year, and that's something Rangers haven't really done since they came back to the top flight. In fact, they haven't done, come to think of it. They've actually been on the end of some rather embarrassing defeats. So if they at least nick a win somewhere along the line, that could lay the foundation for possible success later on. Winning the league, I think, is a bit too much of a jump for Rangers to do this year. Second place, I think, would be acceptable, in my opinion, in the eyes of the fans. If they get above Aberdeen, that's good going in that point of view. Winning the league is a bit of a stretch. Closing the gap is a must for Rangers. Winning the league would only happen if Celtic have a really bad season, and I don't think Brendan Rodgers would allow that to happen, that's for sure.
On Spotify, smart speaker and podcast platforms everywhere, this is the Totally Scottish Football Show from Muddy Knees Media.
JJ, let's talk a bit about Hibs. What are you expecting from them this season? I think the entertainers of the Premiership, I would say.
The entertainers. I think Hibs. Billy McGeoch, it's a big loss. If John McGinn goes to Celtic, which looks like he's probably going to go at some point.
That's right. Yeah.
That'll be a huge loss as well. But I think Neil Lennon is such a good manager that I'd imagine he can get the most out of them that he can, and that should be fourth, or they could even push third.
Yeah.
And if things go their way, who knows, maybe second, but not first.
They could do. I mean, I know Dylan McGeoch going to Sunderland, Jack Ross pillaging a bit of Scottish football there once he went to Sunderland, and if they lose John McGinn, okay, that midfield is a little bit bare, but Stevie Mallon coming in is a really exciting player.
Yeah.
And he's already scored a couple of goals now for Hibernian in the League Cup.
Yeah, from the very little I've seen of him in Hibs colours, he's been very good.
He's done well. He went down south, played for Barnsley. He's came back, and I think it's a real good signing for Hibs.
If you keep McGinn a bit longer, it'd be really handy, would it? Just
if they even kept him till January and solidify their position in the league and give Neil Lennon some time to maybe find a replacement for him.
They can score goals, they're organised, that's all you need to be in the SPFL. Is, as long as you're organised, know what you're doing, and you've got a bit of something about you going forward, the boys can pick a pass. I think they're going to be decent.
Well, I hope that they can get through this Europa League tie. As we record this now, they are, not long from kicking off against Asteris Tripolis. They're 3-2 up on aggregate. They were 2-0 down, and they've came back. That seems to be a thing about Neil Lennon's side. He can certainly keep them going the full 90 minutes.
He can reverse the Hibsing. He does, though, because that honestly, a few years ago, guaranteed that is going to turn into a 5-6-0.
Mm.
But there's just something about having that character in the dressing room. Like, he's a big name, and he knows what he's talking about. He's done the things in Europe. I think he just went straight, just tore into them, and because he knows what he's talking about, and he knows how to set up a team well.
Well, I said they're the entertainers. They've played 3 competitive games, scored 15 and conceded 7. What? That's what we expect. Scottish football.
Let's talk about Kilmarnock.
You a fan?
I think Steve Clark's done a very good job, but then everyone talks about how good Steve Clark is. But he should know his stuff. He's from the elite.
He is.
Premier League. He studied under some of the best managers, going. Spent time at Newcastle. He was at Chelsea.
And he's had his time as a manager. I think it's important, that a manager can, be number one and fail. I think being number one and failing is not necessarily a bad thing for the manager. It's a bad thing for the club. But if he can,
It is bad for some managers.
Well, yeah, some managers who never maybe come back, and it's not a good... Steve Clark's not afraid to fail and come back. And since he's joined Kilmarnock, he's worked wonders for me. And if they can replicate...
He looks healthier. He looks happier. With teams like Killy, if you've got a limited bunch of players, if you are a good coach and you can set them up to be very hard to beat and take advantage of those turnovers and counter-attack well, which is what they did last season, that's how you win points. when Clark came in, he won more points than I think Aberdeen did.
Yeah, he lost only six games.
That's
out of 29.
Incredible. And I wonder if he can keep it up. The big loss is obviously Yusuf Malumbu, who seems to love West Brom. He's got it everywhere. All of his, also on his Twitter, I mean, this is not legally binding or anything, but he says he's still a Kilmarnock FC player. And there is a chance he could go back if no one else takes him. You never know. He left on a free at the end of his contract, didn't fancy it. You never know.
You never know. You might.
You do know. But yeah, they've made some signings. I think they've got Chris Boyd, who can score the goals they need on the counter attack. He just stands up there and poaches, and he's one of the best we've ever had in Scotland, oddly.
Well, he just got a hat trick the other day.
He just can't stop scoring. And because they're so hard to beat and Steve Clark has them well drilled, they're clearly a well coached team. Whenever you see them, they look well coached, well drilled, organised. Everyone knows the position and what they're meant to do. But Malumbu was a big loss.
I think Chris Boyd again will be a key man for Kilmarnock. I said about that, you know, 22 minutes it took for that hat trick against Dumbarton in the Betfred Club. He is going to be key if he stays fit. But what I think for Kilmarnock fans is, are they going to be happy to play that kind of defensive style football? You know, ultimately success breeds a little bit more for the fan. They want to play a bit more attractive football if they think they're doing well.
Do you know, I think you enjoy that kind of football when you've come from a lower place.
Absolutely.
And you're getting up. And once you get to like second and thirds, that's when you've got to start thinking we should be playing like Cruyff.
Yeah, and I don't think
and then Steve, you should play like Cruyff.
I don't think Steve Clark will change the way he thinks Kilmarnock should play, because he has to deal with what he's got, and he will try and get the best for the club. And I think that's what matters ultimately. Why don't we move on to Hearts?
Let's do that.
Craig Levein has, you know, ripped up the Ian Cathro squad and started again.
Yes.
You know, dozen players signed, dozen players sold. But what's important, I think, is, you know, Stephen Naismith has came back, and I think that's a real coup again for them.
The amount of players they have coming in and out is... Do you know when you work you work for a company or something in a massive office and there's like 600 people there and you know you're not going to know anyone's name by the end of the year.
Yeah.
You add them on Facebook, but you can't really know who they are. I'd imagine that's what it's like being a player at Hearts.
I think it's more of a worry when you have so many players coming in and you're kind of almost thinking, well, there must be a plan. There must be a plan. You know, if you talk about a company, if loads of people are being signed, I think that's a worry.
What is the strategy? He signed three goalkeepers.
Yeah, but it's guesswork almost, you would...
Yeah, what's it? I mean, is he giving a list to the people in charge to get the transfers done and then they've just gone and signed every single one? Is he just writing down notes on his phone and then it's a shared notes and they're just going all by him then?
Well, I don't know.
It's so hard to get a squad put together in that short space of time to, you know, to get your team. If you've got all these players coming in all the time, how are you supposed to set what you're doing? I mean, all Levein did last season... was what I saw. I mean, I'm sure Hearts fans have seen a lot more than I did of Hearts, but it's so defensive. God, it's got Craig Levein written all over it. They played, I saw them play at Pittodrie actually, and it was 4-5-1 all the way through, so deep, just the one lad up front running about, he must be knackered. And that, see, Hearts, I think, should be playing more entertaining football, but you can't do it unless you've got players in the same wavelength who are in an organised, structured team. How can you possibly get that structure when you've got a heap of players coming in and out?
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. I also think I would have thought, wouldn't Craig Levein want to go back up to the director of football role? Would they not? Are they still looking for a manager to come in? Are they going to stick with Craig Levein?
I mean, they're going to have to do a search for a director of football, and knowing Craig Levein, there's going to be one man for the job.
We're joined now by Adam Miller, known to many of you as Old Firm Facts on Twitter, or by those of you that read the Daily Record. Adam, welcome to the Totally Scottish Football Show. We've been looking ahead to the Scottish Premiership season, but it feels like the season in Scotland's been going on for about a month now. How excited are you for this?
Oh, I'm extremely excited. I'm slightly stressed just trying to keep up with everything, because I've made it my duty to be the guy who's on top of all the madness that's happening in Scottish football.
And you are the guy.
Assumed I'd have the summer off, but obviously Scottish football had other plans.
What's your highlight so far during the summer?
There's been a few for me. The Queen's Park tweet the other week about a seagull dropping a squirrel, or a pigeon dropping a squirrel onto the pitch at Hampden during a game. There was something brilliant and very kind of uniquely Scottish football about that. I think my highlight of this summer so far has probably been the Willow Flood saga. Are you familiar with this?
Oh, it's amazing. I saw it on your article.
Yeah, so Willow Flood, if there's anyone who's not been following this, Willow Flood is essentially, he was playing for Dundee United until late last season, when he gets sent off during a playoff match, stormed off the pitch, shoved a camera, and was never seen again. And then he resurfaced at Dunfermline with the most unhappy, reluctant photo you've ever seen. The guy looked like one of these kind of hostage photos where he's supposed to be treated well, but it was one of those, and you thought, this isn't going to last. And sure enough, he lasted a total of 9 days, I think it was, at Dunfermline. Wow. And suddenly found himself playing in Bali, for FC Bali in Indonesia. And that lasted something like 3 days before he got sent home from there because he couldn't get him a work permit.
It's not even a holiday.
Yeah, just a nice weekend away or something. But I don't even know if he's got a club yet. I don't think he has.
No, I can't wait to see what his next club photo looks like. He could go over the top of the next one to make up for... Do you remember when Aaron Lennon signed for Everton?
That was amazing.
He looked so sad.
Yeah. Where have I gone to now?
Willow Flood's going to look like the sun coming out of his face in the next one, just smiling all over the place.
If anyone's not seen that photo, it's worth just Googling Willow Flood Dunfermline. It's a work of art. It's brilliant.
What about Anthony Stokes? What's he up to?
He's signed for a team called FC Tractor.
Amazing.
If they didn't already exist, you'd have to invent a team called FC Tractor. It sounds like a five-a-side team, but
FC Tractor.
They exist. And Harry Forrester left Rangers to go there as well.
That's right. You were mentioning about the pigeon at Hampden. There was another bird incident in Scotland, was there not?
The one I think you're referring to is when Ian McCall, the Air United manager, was giving an interview recently after
the
game.
That's the
one.
And
an eagle just flopped to its death on the pitch next to him. And it was kind of slightly harrowing, but also hilarious.
I saw his face as well. His face wasn't looking too happy. He was almost like, what has just happened?
The eagle died, Andrew.
It was
brilliant. I think the way that it sort of combined being utterly ridiculous with kind of bleak but also brilliant was probably a good kind of summary of Scottish football.
Is that perhaps a few bad omens for Air United? I don't know.
For Air United, but Ian McCall's never come across like the most cheery guy anyway, so that's probably in keeping.
I've never known so many bird deaths before a Scottish football season.
Adam, if there was one thing, you know, that you love most about Scottish football... Because it's great, you know, what you put up online. What do you love the most about Scottish football? What's close to you?
It's hard to narrow it down. I think the fact that it's really, really passionate, but most people, and I say most with a big asterisk at the side of it, but most people can have a laugh about it. When you get people that can't take a joke about their own team, I've got no interest in talking to people like that. But there's so many people making jokes about what's happening in Scottish football because there's constantly bizarre and surreal things going on. But at the same time, there's real passion. The attendances are on the rise as well. Someone summed it up brilliantly, and I don't have the tweet in front of me, and I can't remember who said it, so apologies to them. But someone made a point recently, because there's been a few negative comments from journalists down south about things like Adam Rooney going to Salford from Aberdeen and things like that, talking about a new low for Scottish football. Someone essentially made the point that most of the time Scottish football fans hate each other and they're constantly having a go at each other and it gets pretty heated. But the minute anyone from England says anything about our game, there's this massive sense of unity. You know, and it brings everyone together and suddenly everyone's really, really defensive about Scottish football. And I think at the moment people have a right to be kind of proud of the game. And we've got, thankfully, some really good people talking it up. I think Chris Sutton, for all that he does play up to this sort of panto villain role and everything, he's been great in the last week or so just shouting down the English pundits, even though he is one himself. Really kind of been a great advocate for Scottish football, for the passion of it and, you know, for the intensity and also the slightly surreal aspects of it.
You're listening to the Totally Scottish Football Show with Andrew Slaven.
let's get back to our club-by-club preview and move on to Motherwell, JJ.
Yes, I've been so impressed with Stephen Robinson.
Why?
He's just made them... I mean, there's not a great group of players, but he's made them so much better. And you can see when they play there, like Clark's Kilmarnock, they're very well organised. There's clear pressing triggers. I think the one problem they've got is that you can tell that they've been told to do all the things they're doing. It doesn't seem to come naturally to the players. You can see that they know when to go then. You know, so the ball's in the final third. They know that the centre mid comes over to cover that passing lane, and you can see it's all been so drilled. And they don't have an awful lot going forward, but they have signed Connor Salmon.
Yeah, they have signed...
Will he make a difference?
I think he's, you know, he's on loan again. I mean, Hearts clearly don't want him, but also nobody clearly wants to buy him. So he was on loan at Partick Thistle last season. It just seems to me that it's just maybe a bit of numbers. Maybe he'll, you know, hit the form that he hit at Kilmarnock when he scored 20-odd goals by Christmas. Got a move to Wigan.
Hey, he's a name you know, and he's scored goals before.
He's got one Premier League goal for Wigan. So that's...
Sign him up.
Yeah, get him sorted. One thing I would say about Motherwell was, the you know, we talk about Adam Rooney going to the National League. Motherwell seem to pillage the National League quite a lot. They've now got Danny Johnson from Gateshead. They got Ryan Bowman a few years ago from Gateshead, and they've still got Elliot Freer. So I don't know. It's interesting, you know. I think the fifth tier of English football, albeit there can be some stars, Jamie Vardy, one of them, it's a bit of a risk. Danny Johnson, he scored 45 goals last season. In the last three seasons.
Yeah, that's a lot better. Yeah.
Yeah, it's I don't know. He might do the job, but.
I mean, these players are all... There's so many players that'll be of a similar talent, you know, a similar mindset. How do you find them? You know, you can go and scout all you want, but you'll come up with the same sort of names. That's why they've probably signed Connor Salmon, because he's the guy you know, he's done the rounds. It's fitting, you know, if you want to hire someone to do a job to paint your fence, you're going to choose someone that you probably know, rather than some random person that you know from Gateshead who's done this. But you'll just have to see. I mean, some players will come in and just absolutely fly. I think it's a lot about mentality. I think a lot of players in that level will be of the same natural quality, but with how they adapt to their surroundings and where their head's at is important, if that makes sense. I think it does.
So how about St Johnston? Tommy Wright is still there.
They've overperformed for years. They've secured 3 fourth-place finishes. Last year was 8th. Overperforming for so long before last season.
And that's why I think it's a surprise to see Tommy Wright still there. I think he's a very good manager who has operated well for St Johnston, and there would be no surprise if he'd actually gone down south. But he's still there. I still think he's doing a good job. 5 years he's been there as well.
I think if he is still quite as, not moody is the wrong word, but I mean, he was getting pretty grumpy the last season, and if he keeps doing that, I can see maybe he'll just part ways. And I mean to Johnson versus anyone in that division, I would believe any scoreline you told me.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So Johnson versus Dundee, name a score. 4-0, believe it. 2-2, I believe that too. 0-0, most likely.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Well, it'll be a tough one for St Johnson this season. I know they've brought in Tony Watt, similar to Connor Salmon in a way. You know, he's gone off and lived off. Salmon's gone off. He's living off a bit of a reputation when he scored that goal for Celtic against Barcelona in the Champions League. He needs to do something this season, and I think Tommy Wright can keep him right.
The right stuff. It'd be really nice if Tony Watt fulfilled the potential that he was warranted by scoring that goal. I mean,
he didn't just score that one goal that season, of course, but that's the one that he's, you know,
he's remembered fondly for. But it has not haunted him. I bet he thinks about it nightly. But it's what we can judge him against. Maybe Wright's the right guy, like you said, for the job. Who knows? I mean, it's down to Tony Watt. If he's got his head screwed on and he's really keen to improve and, you know, get into that team and become a striker he could have been, then great. Anyway, let's go into Dundee. And their manager is Neil McCann. I have no idea if he's a good manager or not. I can't tell.
I know he doesn't like Tommy Wright, that's for sure. They had a bit of a barmy back in March when they faced off. It was a bit of a relegation scrap at the time. They had a bit of a you know, a few words to say about each other, but Neil McCann more so. He said that Tommy Wright is no longer, you know,
his friend.
Certainly, but he's not allowed back to Dens Park, apparently. You know, not welcome here.
I mean, he will have to go there.
He will be. Yeah, he will be.
If I was Tommy Wright, I would go there on purpose now.
Although Dundee go to St Johnston first, I think.
And they're playing each other at the end of the month as well. Mm-hmm, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Although that is at McDermott Park, not in Dens.
He says, we talk about McCann being a wee bit fiery, I think. He says he's learned his lessons, but he won't be changing his aggressive approach to management.
Yeah. The thing about managers, right? So you want to make your team in your own image.
Mm-hmm.
But what image is Dundee in? I don't see. I mean, they pass the ball sideways a lot.
Yeah.
Give it away.
They're definitely, for me, and sorry Dundee fans, I think they are going to be in a similar position they were in last season. They will be fighting relegation. I think they have one of the smallest, you know, squads in the division. They do need to, you know, add to that if they're going to, you know, challenge. I don't see them reaching top six. So it's going to be a really tough season for Neil McCann.
What do you think about Hamilton then?
Another team who might struggle.
They're going to be in trouble this season. I think they've lost all their decent players.
Yeah, but they have got Ziggy Gordon back.
But I love his name. Doug Imrie is 35 and he's still probably the most important player.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Boyd is 35 at Kilmarnock, but it's just not... I mean, Martin Canning has done some job keeping them up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they've managed it. I think this could maybe be the last season that they're here after the lovely stay they've had. I've got a little fact for you as well.
Go for it.
Do you know the last time that Hamilton won away in the league?
No. Some time ago, though.
Yeah.
Setting it up.
I found it in my notes. It was in November 2017.
Oh, man.
It was against Rangers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, I guess... They can look back on it quite fondly then.
I guess so, yeah. It's one of the reasons Scottish football is just really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that stat?
They've got to arrest that.
Well, they've got this pitch. They've got a new pitch. They spent 750 grand on it because it was voted the worst in a poll between a bunch of companies, bodies I can't remember the names of.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got that. It's still plastic, you know, so they've got that to deal with. And it's not fun to play on for a professional. They can't read the bounce as well. It means you can't construct your passing game the way you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically playing, you know, percentage football the entire time. They go away. They've... not had the same pitch to play on. They're at disadvantage. I think they're maybe in a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
Let's go on to St Mirren, who, of course, have lost Jack Ross, who is a very, very, very talented coach.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. They absolutely romped to the championship last season. 12 points they won it by. But in Alan Stubbs, they've got someone who knows the division, or he knows at least Scottish football. He's played at this level.
Does that matter?
It does to some extent. He should know players that are, you know, going to be good enough for this level, whether or not he can actually get those players.
But that's what your scouts do, though, right? So this is the thing that I find funny when there's people were, you know, slagging off Steven Gerrard. He didn't know anything about the Scottish Premiership. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you take in, like, Marco Silva, right? He went to the English Premier League and he went in from, I can't remember where he went from. It was Greece, Olympiakos, I think.
Yeah.
And he came in and they're all going, oh, he doesn't know anything. Ah, disgusting. Brexit. And they were trying to get, you know, paint Marco Silva, put him into a corner or whatever. And it turns out he's a very talented football coach, knows exactly what he's talking about, surrounded himself with the right people, got his stuff together, fine. Gerrard is an unproven manager, but he's got Gary McAllister in, knows a bit to help him with. He's got a scouting network already in place at Rangers, etc. St Mirren's got Alan Stubbs coming in. They'll have the same scouting crew, I think. I've not read that they've changed anything there. But they have to get more out of these players. Alan Stubbs won the Scottish Cup with Hibs, and Hibs fans remember him fondly for that. He didn't get them promoted for 2 years. That team was good.
Yeah, it was a similar team that Neil Lennon.
And Neil Lennon comes in and fixes it straight away. You know, they come straight up and then they're challenging for a second last season. And there's a big difference in talent manager, and he didn't have a good time at Rotherham. He was in Rotherham for 4 months, I think it is.
Yeah, he didn't last long.
Maybe I'll be totally wrong about Alan Stubbs, but I think St Mirren are in trouble as well. They've got some quite good players. I don't think there's anyone outstanding. There's nobody
to pick out. You know, losing Lewis Morgan to Celtic.
Massive loss.
Absolutely huge.
Yeah.
I
mean, he carried them for a lot of last season. Not carried, sorry, that's too heavy, but he was very, very important to their promotion push.
Livingston are back in the Scottish Premiership after back-to-back promotions. So we're now joined by Livingston blogger Andrew Semple. How are you doing, Andrew?
Not bad. How are you?
Aye, not bad, mate. Not bad. Must be great, Livingston back in the Premiership.
Yes, it's exciting times. Exciting times for the club, that's for sure.
How's it been, you know, the past, you know, back-to-back promotions, and then it must have been a bit of a surprise last season. Did you expect to be, you know, going up?
I don't think anyone expected that. It's been a crazy couple of years supporting Livingston, that's for sure. When we get promoted from League One to the Championship, I think most people had us down as going back down again, not getting promoted. So to be anywhere near that was incredible, but to end up getting promoted was just unreal. It was just incredible. It really was.
How do you feel about the David Hopkin thing? Do you mind that he's gone? Is Kenny Miller going to do a job?
Yeah, it was a bit disappointing.
Yeah.
I was the first to admit that when Hopkin got given the job after we got relegated to League One, mm-hmm. It's safe to say that I wasn't a fan. I think most Livingston fans felt the same, that it wasn't the right move to appoint him in the first place. But boy, how did he show us wrong there?
Oh. He was assistant to Mark Burchell, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yes, he was. Yeah, Burchell came in and it didn't quite work out there. Hopkin took over, so he made his own signings in January, but it didn't work. We got relegated, a bit of a whimper, mm-hmm. against Stranraer in the playoffs. And I think at that point, most fans thought, well, he won't be the manager next season. So yeah, it's just been incredible. What a turnaround he's made. He's made me eat my words, that's for sure.
How are you feeling now with Miller then? Have you seen Livy play with Miller in charge?
Yes, I've seen us pre-season. I've seen us in the League Cup group stages, the Betfred Cup. We've certainly changed our style. Kenny Miller wasn't my first choice. I had £40 on Gary Holt, so I was hoping it was going to be him, but obviously not. But yeah, Kenny Miller's came in, and the thing with Kenny Miller is we're not just getting a manager, we're getting a player. Yeah. And for a player like Kenny Miller to sign for Livingston, it's a bit of a coup for the club.
What do you think the expectations are? Is it just... Do you think Livingston have, you know, enough to stay up this season? Do you think it is a bit of a risk with Kenny Miller, as much as he is a player that can improve you?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's going to be an incredible season in the Premier League. It's a league we didn't expect to be in. But I think, like last season, we might take a few teams by surprise. Obviously, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. Staying in the league mm-hmm. will be an incredible achievement. It will be up there with getting promoted. Because at the end of the day, we've got a small squad, a young squad. Kenny Miller, he is a risk. He's no managerial experience, but he's played at the highest level. And you're getting a player that scores goals at that level. And I look at the rest of the league and I don't see many teams out with the top four or five that have got as good a strike force as we do, with Kenny Miller, Ryan Hardy, players like that, players that I think will score goals at that level. So I think that might be the difference between us staying up and going down.
You said it's a bit of a change of style. What have you seen? You changed the shape a bit. I think it was last time I saw it was about 3-5-2 or something. Miller putting himself
that's
up
right.
front. Is there any difference in the way they play? Is that they're trying to keep the ball?
We're playing more of a four at the back now. We're playing a lot more football from the back under Hopkin. We had this image and people saw the club being a bit physical, but to be honest, I didn't see that. I missed maybe a couple of games last season, and yeah, we were physical in a way, but I wouldn't say in a bad way. We were more energetic than other teams, and that wasn't to say that we were kicking people off the park. It was we were getting in people's faces, teams' faces, mm-hmm. and teams didn't like that, and they saw that as a physical sort of play, whereas it was nothing like that. This season, we're passing it out from the back a bit more. We're trying to build from the back, whereas last season we tried to get it forward a bit quicker. So it just depends how that's going to work. It depends on the teams we come up against. Like, say, Saturday against Celtic, we won't get much opportunity to pass it out from the back, I don't think. So it'll be interesting to see how we go.
It's a perfect start, isn't it?
Yeah.
Perfect start to your season, coming up against the champions.
It would be lovely to go there and cause a bit of a shock, but I'm a realist as well, and if we keep it tight and we compete, that's all I'm looking for from the weekend, really.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Monday reviewing the action up and down the leagues with the headline act at Pittodrie. It's Aberdeen versus Rangers with Steven Gerrard making his Premiership bow. We'll speak to you then.
You've been listening to the Totally Scottish Football Show, a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, email sales@muddyneesmedia.com and make sure you check out our other football podcasts, the Totally Football League Show with Caroline Barker, and of course, the Totally Football Show with James Richardson.